Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. I want you to go with me in your Bible, just as a jumping off place, to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you right now, I feel this thing this morning. Now, you know, I'm Pentecostal, and I love to feel the God that I serve. Amen. However, I want you to know that I don't just go by feeling. Amen. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I don't just go by feeling. I'm thankful to the God that I serve. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. I've been on this. I've preached for 3 or 4 weeks on giants and killing giants and why are there giants still in my life and so forth and so on. But today I want to preach on the subject sword against sword. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And I went a little on this line last week because of the weird warfare that we had been in. And I want to hit on it again today a little bit. But also, I want us to recognize the difference of how we fight. How many knows that the days, it's not the way it used to be. Years ago, when I was a kid, back when Moses was around, if you would fight, when it was over, you might even help them up. And I used to have a creed that I would never fight dirty or any of those things until somebody else did it first. And then if you picked up a rock or a stick, then it was on. But I'd fight you fair. And if I got whooped, I got whooped. But that ain't the way we live anymore. But the reality is that day and time, usually we would still be friends, right? Even afterwards. We've come to a point today in our society, we understand the tragedy of this past Thursday night, Friday night. Which one was it? Thursday night? Friday night? Thursday in Dallas. And I'm telling you, church, that America is at odds with itself. It is at odds with itself, and it's not a white thing, a black thing, a blue thing. We have some wonderful cops, police officers who attend our church. We have some wonderful white people who attend our church. We got some wonderful black folks who attend our church. We got some wonderful Hispanic folks who attend our church. We got some wonderful, I don't even know what color they are, that attend our church. And the church ought to be a reflection of heaven. And to God be the glory, our church is. You know, our church, in case you don't know it, our church is multi-generational and multicultural because we have cultures from all over. Matter of fact, our church is one of the most diverse churches in the county. We're one of the most ethnic ethnically mixed churches, generationally mixed churches in the county. And I think that's what makes our church great, is because we've got young and old and black, white, purple, and orange. And I think that's what heaven's going to look like. And what we've got to make sure is that we don't let the media, and let me just get on a hobby horse real quickly, because I think that the media is not our friend. I think media perpetuates things that are happening and makes you think it's all over the place, but it's in sectors. But as the people of God, we got to keep our eye on God and realize that our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but it is with principality and power of the air. Let me just go ahead and go on record that it's not going to get any better if Hillary gets in or if Trump gets in. The only thing that's going to make it better is your relationship with Jesus Christ, and begin to realize that you're not at war with somebody. You're at war with the power of hell. Can you say amen? Because here's the reality. Everybody bleeds red. Everybody bleeds red. So we got to understand that we need to get away from letting the media get us all in an uproar because of stuff that's happening around our country, and understand that it ain't going to happen in my house. That's where it starts. It's not going to happen in my house. We're going to respect people, period. Period. You know, respect is thrown around a lot these days, but nobody respects nobody. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants grace for what they do, but no grace for anybody else. Oh, that's good preaching, whether you know it or not. So today, I've come to talk to you about sword against sword. And it might be a little different than what you imagine, because you don't ever need to be afraid that your weapons from God are antiquated or they are not powerful enough to win the battle. Now, I realized something about myself. I didn't know it for a long time. But I had somebody come and ask me, because I got different things in my office. And one of the things, you know, many times we come to a sword fight and we don't know what the enemy's using, right? But I've got many things in my office and I didn't really know. But somebody asked me, Pastor, you collect knives? And I go, no. And then I begin to look around and I go, maybe I do. I've done it unintentional. So, you know, but sometimes we think that the devil, that we got to fight the devil with something that won't do the job. Now, it's a large knife and it's a switchblade. I think it's illegal. I think it is. However, I do have a license to carry a concealed weapon. There you go. So, you know, I don't have my gun on me today, so I have this. And I will throw it. No. But the problem is when we think of sword against sword, we come in thinking it's a knife fight. Right? Well, let me just say this to you. If this is the devil's weapon, God gives you something a little bigger to handle the power of hell with. And so we don't have to worry that our weapon is not as big as the weapons of the enemy that come against us. Understand, matter of fact, the weapon that God gives us makes this thing look small. It makes this look antiquated. But the problem I want you to understand is the sword that I'm going to talk about today is not even blades. All right? Let's go, because here's the deal, guys. We are in a new kind of war. You know, I was watching, I love watching old documentaries and stuff. Not boring documentaries. There's a new show called No Man Left Behind. I love that. That's a great show. I don't know what channel it's on, but it's a new show, No Man Left Behind. Let me put this up before I cut myself. I bet some of y'all see it up there. Y'all be trying to take it. Not everybody in here saved. I ain't giving it to you. I said not everybody in here saved. You can always see a thug. I'm just messing with you. But they were talking about when we went into Afghanistan, when we went into Iraq, that there was a different strategy of war. You know, years ago, now Brother Cash could tell us about us because he was there when the Civil War happened and the Revolutionary War happened, that I would not have been a good Revolutionary War guy, because you stand in a line, close, and just shoot at each other. No. Not me. I'm going to find a tree. I'm going to find a tree to shoot. So, you know, the strategies changed, right? And so, you know, and then they got to, you know, years ago, you could tell who the enemy was because they wore uniforms. And now they don't wear uniforms. They disguise themselves to look like, I could preach right there. They disguise themselves to look like your friend. They disguise themselves to look like a sheep in wolf's clothing. Come on, somebody. Or a wolf in sheep's clothing. There it is. They disguise themselves. But that's not, that's what we're dealing with in this day and time. So there's a different war. We do not war against flesh and blood. And many of the battles that you are fighting in your life are not mere coincidences. They're not just happenstance. It didn't just happen, but they are methodically thought out to destroy you or to cause your faith to be waned with the kingdom of God. It has been designed to take you down, and unless you fight and learn how to fight, then you're going to live a dilapidated life, depressed most of your life. But that's not what God called you to do. He said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So you cannot just lay down and let the enemy do whatever he wants to do and agree with him, but you got to square your shoulders back and stand up and say, not as far as me goes, I'm going to stand up and see the salvation of the Lord. They are deliberate attacks of the enemy against your life to bring you back into bondage. That's why many of the methods that we employ do not remedy the problem. We want counseling for a Calvary problem. There are some problems that you need counseling on. There are some problems you need the blood of Jesus on. There are some things you need counseling on, but then there are other things you need the power of the Most High God. You need a dose of the Holy Ghost to get you through whatever that is you're going through. All right, and they call me old fashioned, but we're trying to kill an elephant with a toothpick. And you don't understand what we have to realize, the arsenal that is at our disposal. It's not a lot of different weapons, but church, it's the atomic spiritual bomb in warfare. Well, Pastor, what is it? I want you to turn there with me. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. Many of you already know it, but I want you, in case you don't have it underlined in your Bible, you need to find it. Revelation chapter 12. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. I was looking at chapter 11 and go, oh, that's the wrong scripture. Are you ready? It's on the screen. And they overcame him by the intestinal fortitude of the Lamb. No. And they overcame him because they just stood up. No. They overcame him because they called a pastor. They overcame him because they got some good counseling. They overcame him. No, you can put anything in there. It doesn't fit. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. All right, that's enough to shout on. But then there's one more. And, which means conjunction, by the word of their testimony. That they overcame him by saying, by the testimony of their own mouth. When the devil says, you are this, they said, I am not. God has delivered me from that, and therefore I am no longer what you said. Listen to me. You are not what they say you are. You are what you answer to. Oh, somebody needs to hear me. The enemy is at work, but you've got to defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your own testimony. What does that mean, preacher? That you got to open up your mouth and say something. Because the enemy is at work. Now let me tell you. This is how the enemy works. This is how warfare is strategized, okay? I dealt a little bit with it. I'm gonna hit just a little bit more, give you a little bit more information on, it said, the principalities. Now, principality, there's a meaning there which means arch, which meaning principle or beginning rank. When we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that is the beginning rank. That is the private, if you will. It is not the same as an archangel. The root word in archangel is the Greek word archo, which means the chief or first in rank. This is a private in the army. What does that mean, Pastor? I mean that he begins to try to deal with you by the principal things. The things that you have not yet let go of. Oh, God help me. The things that you still hang on to just in case this church thing don't work out. The thing that you hang on to because you don't know any better, that thing's trying to kill you and you still trying to pet a scorpion. Help me, somebody. This is the private of the army. But then it goes the powers, which is equal to exousia, meaning authority, or the right to us, or the right to us, the might. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? The commentary said this, that it is the delegated influence. This is the sergeant of the enemy, that he tries to influence you by the principalities and by the power. That power is trying to delegate to you. The rulers is cosmos krator, which comes from two words, which put together means world dominion. Cosmos, which means world and its inhabitants. Kratos, which means dominion, seize or lay hold for control. This is the captain. I want you to understand that the devil doesn't want to necessarily possess you as long as he can control you. Oh, you're not hearing me. He doesn't necessarily want to possess you. You know, I mean, years ago, everybody looked around looking for demons and looking for devils, and everybody was possessed. No, that there was a lot of people who was oppressed and controlled by the powers of hell. But as for me, I'm not going to be controlled. How do you know if you're being controlled, Pastor? Let me ask you this. How's your attitude? Are you a different person every time somebody sees you? Well, I just thought that was my multiple disorder. No. That's the power of hell trying to drive you crazy. That's the power of hell that gets up on your bed at night and tries to control what kind of day you're going to have. But when you wake up and you put on the whole armor of God and you begin to speak those things over your life that God says about you, the power of hell has to take a back seat. So this is the captain. But then we go to spiritual host of wickedness. A host is translated army. Wickedness in the word is poneria, which means iniquity. High is the word I can't even pronounce, which is translated celestial. And this is how it works. All right, I'm going to put it all together. Are you ready? That the principalities work through lies. John 8:44, you are the father of the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can you say amen? See, this battle is waged entirely in your soul. And my brother dealt with that last week. That it was dealt, the principalities works through lies. He lies to us and begins to help or tries to get us to begin to believe those lies. Because we know that your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your emotions. And the enemy's plot is to keep you from being able to get to the arsenal of God's Spirit waiting for you to access the power. My God. What do you mean? I mean that you have the Spirit of God in you, and your soul, the devil is trying to attack your soul so that you just can't quite reach the weapon that is at your fingertips. You're trying to reach it, but you can't. But because he's lying to you and telling you, you don't deserve, you don't blah, 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 blah. But my God, if you'll ever get the sword of the Spirit of God, if you'll ever access the power of an almighty God, that the devil is no match for the presence and the power of almighty God. Hey, man, I like having this. Come on, somebody. Woo! My God, I feel like cutting somebody this morning. Once you begin to believe and act out the lies, you begin to give way to the powers. It's a spiraling downward spiral. Once you begin to believe the lies that the principalities are telling you, then you begin to act out on those lies. Then you begin to give way to the powers. Let me just ask this question. And let me go ahead and tell you how to get an A on it. The answer is yes. Has the devil ever lied to anybody? Now, this is a little bit further. Have you ever acted on the lies that you heard from the devil? Nobody loves you. I know it. I knew they didn't like me. Nobody loves you. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. That's what the devil wants you to hear. Oh, this church thing ain't working. You still got trouble. I know it. I've been going to church solid for 2 weeks now. This Christian thing don't work. I know it. I went to church last month. I went 6 weeks after that, and 3 days I went, and I just don't know what's going on. It ain't working for me. Because you don't know how to use the weapon yet. You don't know how to use your weapon. That's why you got to be discipled. You've got to be trained in how to use the weapons that are at your warfare. Because you can't just have everybody all willy-nilly trying to use something they don't know nothing about. Huh? Once you begin to believe and act on the lies, you begin to give way to the powers. Remember, the word power is exousia, or authority. You begin to give way to the devil now having authority in your life. Now listen to me. I think it's my next slide. Give me my next slide, Liz. Satan cannot rule your life unless you give him authority. Woo! I didn't say he couldn't attack you. I said he could not rule your life unless you give him authority. And if come here, baby girl. Josh almost came. This is my youngest daughter. I told my youngest daughter years ago, I said, baby, I brought both of my daughters into the living room. I said, I just want to announce something to y'all. That I'm never going to give you another spanking or another discipline unless you ask me to. And they were like, woohoo! Yeah, we ain't ever going to get one. I go, oh no, let me qualify. Clarify. That your behavior speaks louder than your mouth. Oh, y'all ain't get it. So if you behave, you're asking me to whoop you. You asking me to discipline you. So your behavior is going to speak louder than your words. Ah, listen, I've tried it. It don't work. Thin. Fit. I can do push-ups, and I can do 4 pull-ups. Yes, I can in the name of Jesus, because I have the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Guess what? I still can't do them. I mean, I can do a few push-ups, but I ain't ever been able to do no pull-up. It's not enough just to speak thin while you eating Dairy Queen. I'm going to tell on myself. I went and got Dairy Queen last night. I ain't had one in about 6 months. I went and got me one. I wanted the large. I just settled for the middle one. And got me that. And I looked over and I go, I wish this tastes like broccoli. Or I wish broccoli tastes like this. Chocolate fudge blizzard. Is that what we got? Double stuffed chocolate fudge blizzard. I was like, Lord Jesus. But you know what? I can say all day long, but until my actions line up with my words, then it's not going to do me any good. Christ redeemed you and gave you authority, and the devil doesn't have the right or authority over you unless you give it to him. Well, I ain't giving it to him, but you give it to him by your actions or your attitude or your words, right? Now, if my children go, Daddy, I ain't had a beating in a long time. Would you just beat me? I might oblige them because there are some things I'm sure that I missed. Am I making sense to you? Why would you give him authority? Because of the battle that is raging in your soul, you start believing and acting on the lies that now he has authority in your life. And now listen, I'm gonna hit something right here, and it's going to be a little controversial, I understand. And please, I am not, if you've ever been a part of this, what I'm about to talk about, is I want you to know that I'm not being calloused. You just ain't ever been there. You're right, I have not. I'm not being callous. I'm just trying to help us to understand. Psychologists tell us that people who stay in an abusive situation, it is because somehow they believe that they deserve to be in that situation. And now I can tell you, my wife will just put an exclamation point on this fact. Because, you see, at some point in time, oh, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. He really loves me. He just, I shouldn't make him mad. Well, maybe you shouldn't make him mad, but he still shouldn't put his hands on. All right, now listen to me. Because once they realize that I don't deserve this is when they leave. Yeah, that's right. You know why I have never beat my wife? Because I'm scared of her, number one. But number two, you understand, don't you? I don't care how small they are, ain't that right, Pete? Here's number two, because she told me when we first got married, you ever put your hands on me? You got to go to sleep at some point in time. Amen? Because now I'm not trying to be not sensitive to your plight. But at some point in time, you see, when we begin to believe the lie of the enemy, then we begin to believe that we deserve this. And you know what? Some of us might deserve that, but that's where grace comes in and mercy comes in, and we don't have to live like that. Here's the great thing. When you call upon your Father, which is in heaven, and you ask Him to forgive you, and then He which is faithful shall forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Good preaching. Satan, I got to hurry, good Lord. Satan cannot rule your life unless you give him authority. I have no idea where I'm at now. Christ redeemed you and gave you his authority. The devil doesn't have a right or authority over you unless you give it to him. And why would you give it to him? Because you begin to believe the battle that is going on. Just because you're struggling with something doesn't mean that you are something. I'm so aggravated. Folks go, well, I was born this way. No, you might have tendencies. But everybody has a tendency for something. Listen, I wish to God. There are a few people who can eat whatever they want to and stay slim. We just want you to know from the rest of us, we hate you. We despise you. I pray that 100 fleas find their home in your armpit. No, I don't. But we dislike you very much. Because I'm sure I ate a medium blizzard, and I'm sure I gained 4 pounds. But that's not the case, all right? Most people, I have a tendency that I love chocolate. I love bread. I love sweets. Matter of fact, I just like food. I like the taste of food. I like the texture of food. I like the way it feels when it fills my belly. I like it. Get in my belly. I love that. I love food. All right? So that's my tendency. Well, what do? Well, I just give in. That's why I'm big as a house. No, I have to discipline my soul. Discipline what my flesh wants. Oh, somebody needs to hear me. And so, Pastor, I'm just so tired of fighting against it, so therefore I must be. No, as long as you're fighting means that the devil hadn't got you. You know, these people go, well, I fight against homosexuality, so therefore I must be. Then in that case, I must be a murderer. Because I fight against killing people. Y'all know, y'all can be all holy if you want to. I struggle with it sometimes. Going down the road, somebody cuts you off, little punk. I think, man, if I wouldn't get in trouble, I'd just shoot his tires out. Some of y'all going to be reporting me now. I don't think he needs a license to carry. There's one of our sheriffs over here. Matter of fact, all right. He'll be coming up, taking me to jail a little later on. But do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you struggle with it doesn't mean that you are. It just means that you have a tendency. It means that your flesh has to be subdued. It means that the lies that the principality are telling you that you got to fight against it. How do I fight against it, Pastor? You fight against it with the sword of the Spirit. The real spiritual attack against man comes through the principalities and powers. The work of the principalities come through arguments in your mind. That's where it takes place, the arguments of your mind. Oh, I'm just born this way. I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I wasn't born to be a good person. I wasn't born blah, 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 blah. It's a lie of the devil. For though we walk after the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down imagination and everything that tries to rise above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The sword of the principality, you got to get this, is his words. The sword of the principality is his words. You know, whoever coined the phrase, everybody's heard this phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You're an idiot. Whoever coined that phrase is an idiot. Words do more damage than anything else. You can beat somebody down. You can kill them with words. You can put them in bondage with words. Your words are hurtful. You beat somebody up and the bruise will heal. But that word that people speak over you is forever in your spirit. That's why some of you think you deserve where you're at. I've come by to tell you that the devil is a liar. Quit believing the word of the enemy, because the word of God says that you have been redeemed. The weaponry of war. Let's talk about it. Point number three. I got 5 minutes. God did not leave us defenseless. He's told us how to win in spiritual warfare. First and foremost, we have to show up for the battle. You got to show up. There are so many battles that are won by the enemy by default because you didn't show up. Now listen, I'm not talking about just Sunday morning. I'm not talking about just church. I think church is part of it, but I ain't talking about just church. But there was a lady the other day, and she's been in our church for a long time. I've known her for a long time. I mean, she's been missing a lot of church. She was here last Sunday. She was here Wednesday night. I hope she'll be here in the 11 o'clock, so I won't be able to use this story. But I went into her place of business, and I didn't know she was working there, and I went there, and I go, hey, girl, I've been missing you at church. Or not even say anything. You know, usually when you're the pastor, you show up, and they've been out of church, they'll be like, I know I've been out of church, pastor, blah, blah, blah. And I thought she'd been sick. And matter of fact, I thought because of Facebook. Mm-hmm. I know when you ain't here, sometimes you're out scalloping. So anyway. We already had that discussion this morning. So anyway, I said, hey girl, I didn't know you was working. She goes, yeah, I do, pastor. I said, I thought you were being real sick. She goes, oh, by the time I get home, I'm sick. I go, no, you sick of working. That's what your problem is. But anyway, and she said, well, I didn't get in till 10:30. I didn't get off work till 10:30 Saturday night. And then I was just so wore out. I go, that's 12 hours before service starts on Sunday. I said, you can sleep like 8, 9, 10 hours and still be at church. And she said, well, I just didn't feel like it. I go, I understand. And then I stopped and I turned around. There was a customer in there. I turned around, I go, Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross either. And the customer went. And then she was here Sunday. She was here Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. But part of the battle is just showing up. Anybody else in here ever talk about back in your BC days before Christ? Talking about, let's meet at so and so. We're gonna slug it out. All right. And then you show up and ain't nobody there. We are the champions. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you didn't show up. Or maybe you went to the wrong place by mistake. I knew they wasn't going to be here. Whew, glory to God. But part of it is just showing up. God didn't leave us defenseless. Many times the devil wins by default. I want you to see what Jesus did. I don't have time to take you there. But in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted, let me tell you how he defeated the devil. Here's what he said. I'm a member of the Tristle River Church of God. That is not what he said. He didn't go, well, do you know who I am? No, he said, it is written. It is written. And by the way, if you didn't remember, it is written. The devil came at him three ways. He fought him with the same weapon. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. See, let me tell you, the devil is not afraid of the Word of God. He's afraid of what you know about the Word of God. He's afraid of what you believe the Word of God knows, because he knows the Word better than you and me. But you got to know the Word of God, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth that you have knowledge of will cause you to be free, because it is the sword of the Spirit. The words of his mouth, the words of Jesus' mouth, was the sword of his Spirit. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. The words that the word of your testimony needs to be the word of the Spirit of God in your life. Hey. The Bible said in Revelation 19 and 15, out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Revelation 19, 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from out of the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. In spiritual battle, the sword is never a sword. Hear me. In spiritual battle, the sword is never a physical sword. The sword of your spirit. The sword of your spirit. If you have the Spirit of God in you, and you do, then speak what God speaks, and your words, that is the Word of God, that is in your spirit. Am I making sense? Am I making that clear enough? I just feel like I'm not making that clear enough. That the words that you speak that are in your spirit, not the words that you heard pastor speak, not the words you heard mama speak, but the words that you have put in your spirit. And when you begin to speak it, the sword of the Spirit goes out and slays the power of hell that is trying to ruin your life. A spiritual battle. In spiritual battle, the sword is never in your hand. It is always in your mouth. So with that in mind, how many of us needs to shut our mouth until we can get something new in it? Which is the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. What is in your spirit? All right. Let me finish up. Let me see if I can try to finish up. Let's talk about winning the battle. Is that my next one? Yeah. Winning the battle. It's true that you must pray. All right, I've already hit this, but I think I have this one. Do I? What's my next one? Yes. If what you say is not lining up with what you pray, then your prayers are in vain. Lord, I just thank you that you've given me victory. Lord, I just give you glory. I give you honor. God, I thank you that every power of hell is under my feet. And then you get over here with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your little friend or your brother, sister. Well, I tell you, I don't know what's going on. I just tell you, I'm just going through the worst part of my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you prayed about it? Yeah, I prayed about it, but ain't nothing happening. Blah, 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 blah. Your mouth. Listen, I'm not telling anybody that we need to be the word police. How many's ever been around people like that? The word police. I mean, that gets old. That gets old. You get around word police, you want to punch somebody in the face. I'm not talking about that. But we need to police ourselves. Police what you're saying. Because if what you're saying, or I don't have this one on the slide, but if what you're saying doesn't line up with the Word of God, and it's not in your spirit, then it's really not going to do you much good. Sometimes you got to say things a long time before they get in your spirit. You know, let me tell you, some of you that have, some folks that have inferiority complexes, you didn't get that overnight. You got that by somebody continuously or constantly or on a regular occasion saying this about you. And the next thing you know, you begin to believe what they said. Well, you don't believe what they say, but begin to speak this over your life and begin to believe what this says. I am the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I have been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. I am the child of God. I might not be a theologian, but I am a child of God because his blood has covered me and called me his son. Begin to say things that God says. You got to quit speaking idle and negative words over the battle. You ever around folks who one minute, bless God, they're spouting out word of God, and the next moment they're like, my goodness, they're spewing all this other garbage. And you're like, what happened to the spiritual you? Right? Your sword is in your mouth. One theologian said it like this, that the Bible said that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And one theologian said it like this. I like it. But he said that the word is one edge. But then when you speak it with faith, believing that it's in your spirit, it gives it the second edge. You and I need to have that two-edged sword in our mouth. Your sword is in your mouth. You must stop speaking idle, negative words. Here's what Matthew says. Matthew 12 and 37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You must, I got to get this one. You know what some of you need to do? Some of you need to forbid the devil from talking to you. Quit arguing with him. You're this. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Because you keep letting it talk. Well, maybe I am. What you need to do is shut up. My youngest daughter, shut up was a bad word in our house. So she found ways around it. Daddy, I'm not supposed to say shut up, am I? I go, no, baby, you're not. Can I tell the devil to shut up? I said, yes, you can. Shut up, devil. She'd just walk around. Shut up, devil. I know she was directing some of that at me. Probably more of it to her sister. But anyways, I know she was there. But some of you need to go ahead and allow yourself to tell the devil, shut up. With them negative things begin to, you know what I mean? Just freak some people out riding down in the car. Shut up! What? No, not you. I'm just having to tell the devil. The devil's trying to have a conversation with me, and I'm trying to talk to you, and I'm trying to talk to the Father, which is in heaven, and which is part of my spirit, and I gotta talk to my spirit, and so I don't need the devil talking to me. So, devil, shut up! Here's what Job said. When everything happened, Job said, the Bible said that Job spoke not a word. For 24 hours. Don't he know that he just lost all his children? Don't you know he lost his fortune? Say something. Then when he finally did say something, he said, "I will not speak a word against my God." He understood the power of his words. He understood. Maybe I got a couple of preachers here. Y'all can help me. They're more experienced than me. I have no recollection or hurt. But maybe I have nothing to back this up with, just people. Maybe he wouldn't speak a word till he could get his spirit under control. Until when he spoke, he could speak out of his spirit instead of out of his flesh. Because his flesh was like, wah! But his spirit was, I will not speak a word against God. I will not speak a word because I'm not going to say anything negative against my God. Somebody needs to hear me. And sometimes you just need to hush. Yeah. Well, but Pastor, I'm looking for advice. And you've been to this one, 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 this one. And everybody in the church knows your business. Or how about this one? You put it on Facebook. My God. Listen, when you're emotional, close Facebook. Good preaching, Pastor. All right, I gotta finish. Forbid Satan to talk. Here's what the Bible said from Jesus did. Mark 1:34. Then he healed many who were sick and with various diseases and cast out many demons and did not allow the demons to speak. When he cast out a devil, he didn't have them speaking. Let me tell you something. I know some of you folks ain't Pentecostal, and and y'all get scared when I start talking like this. You know, that back years ago they used to cast out the devil, and we still have to cast out the devil sometimes out of people. And folks go, but yet you'll go see The Conjuring, and all you're doing is inviting the devil up in your spirit. Whatever. But I start talking like the people go, but years ago, man, sometimes they'd hold folks down. I ain't never seen that in the Bible. I've never cast out a devil that I had to hold down. I just come with the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the Spirit of God. The last one I dealt with was in Uruguay. Man, that devil started manifesting itself. People started to grab a hold of us. No. I ain't going to grab hold of nobody. Well, what if she slaps you? I'll slap her back. And I just folded my arms. My interpreter was there. And I said, now, in the name of Jesus. He started speaking in Spanish. I said, no. I don't need no interpreter. This demon knows English. He knows English. You might not know English, baby. I said, tell her that. But the devil knows English. I said, all right, now, shut up. And then the devil started manifesting himself. I said, nope, shut up. Shut up. And I just said, I ain't going to wrestle with you. I'd been sick. I said, I ain't going to wrestle with you. I ain't gonna plead with you. I ain't going to spend no hour with you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out now. And man, that devil come out. And she started crying, claps to the floor. And then we just went ahead and had church. Forbid the devil to speak. All right, now, last thing. I don't know. Let me give you a couple more. All right. You must learn to speak with a new tongue. You must learn to speak with a new tongue. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Now I know that means that speak with the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But I'm telling you, you need to learn how to speak with a new tongue. A different language than you used to speak with. All right? You get around your old friends, you talk one language. You come to church, you try to talk a new language. Right? I've got to go see my dad. My dad fails, y'all. Y'all pray for him. He's 89. He fell and they're putting him in rehab, so I need to go sit with him a day. And so I'm going, as soon as service is over, I'm going to go up there and be with him. So pray for me and him. And pray that I don't kill him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But pray for him. But when I get around my brothers, my Alabama accent comes back strong. But you have to learn a new tongue. Start speaking things that you used to didn't speak. Begin to speak the Word of God. New tongues means a new freshness, not naturally acquired. You've got to renew your mind by renewing your language. All right, what's my next one? I think it's my last one. Let me give you the scripture for this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. Sorry. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So change your language. We must draw your sword every time the principality draws his. You have got to use your mouth to speak against his lies and counterattack with the words of the Spirit that God gives you. That's why you need the Word of God in you. I mean, what do you want to fight with? You want to talk about a sword of the Spirit, just as an illustration. If you got to fight somebody bigger than you, stronger than you, which one do you want? I'll take this big bad mamma jamma. Because this one I can keep you this far away. But this one I can keep you this far away. Stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't like to let a Sunday morning go by without giving you the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus, to give you that opportunity. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you don't know Jesus and you want to, would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Anybody in this building, then I'm going to believe that everybody's a born-again believer. Then you know the areas. You know areas in your own life where you have failed, where you have spoke things and allowed the sword of the enemy's sword to speak into your life. And now you know that there are some things that you got to speak. There's a new language you got to learn. If that's you, say, Pastor, that's me. You just lift up your hand. You can put it back down. I see those hands all over this building. All over this building. And in reality, probably most of us could say yes on that. Because I know sometimes I let my feelings and my emotions speak instead of me. So let me pray over you. We're going to dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, just lift your hands up. Just say, Lord, I receive your word into my spirit so that when I speak to the enemy, it is your sword in my mouth. And I refuse to let the enemy speak lies to me and believe them and behave accordingly. But your word will be spoken in my life and lived out in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.